Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Ron Watts. I'm one of the pastors here at La Croix. And if you are joining us here in person for the first time, or you're joining us online for the first time, we want to say a very special welcome, and that you, I hope that you feel really welcome, really part of things, and that you experience God's presence as we worship together. Next month, I'm going to do something that millions of Americans do, probably most of you do, and that is I'm going for my annual physical exam. And I'm going to go see my doctor. You know, he's going to do some blood work and going to check that out. And then he's going to check parts of my body that make me really glad that I'm not a doctor. And then he's going to look at spots. Yeah, some of you caught that. He's going to look at spots, you know, because when you get older, you start having these spots, they come out of nowhere, you know, and sometimes the moles and the other things begin to change because my generation wasn't real smart when it came to the sun when we were younger, you know, and I have way too many friends who've had precancerous and cancerous things on their skin, and they've had to have those removed, and so that's always kind of part of that physical exam, but it's really important because there you find out some things, you learn some things, hopefully preemptively, you discover some things early so that if treatment is needed, those things can be tended to. And if you don't get a physical every year, I encourage you really to do so. I've had so many friends, acquaintances recently get some diagnoses that really weren't that good, and a little earlier detection might have been good. So we do that physically, right? And we know what it is to get a physical exam. Do you know that there's such a thing for the soul? That you can have this exam, this sort of self-examination of the soul that will help your soul, your spirit, stay in a better place in your relationship with God. And we want to look at that prayer. It's really bound up in a prayer. And so today we're beginning a new series of messages, three messages. We're going to look at three dangerous prayers. And we're calling them dangerous prayers because if you really get serious about praying these prayers, it's going to result in change. I believe that change is good, but change is disruptive, and sometimes we don't like change because it is disruptive. But if you'll go past the real nominal safe prayers and begin to pray some of these dangerous prayers, you're going to see some things happen in your life as a result. Because here's the deal. God delights in answering prayer. God is moved in response to human prayer. God changes us through prayer. Prayer is very effective. Prayer is one of the greatest tools that God has given us. And so the first prayer that I want us to consider, that I'd like you to add to your prayer life if you're not already using this prayer and praying it, is this one. Search me. Search me, O God. Now, it comes to us out of Psalm 139. We've heard that passage read already. And down through the ages, Christian writers, especially writers about the spiritual life and prayer, have taken this particular prayer that comes out of Psalm 139, and they've made it a form of prayer that we can use to examine the state of our soul. In fact, it's called the prayer of examine, where we open ourselves up to the Spirit of God to enable him to do his work in us. Because here's the reality. Just like we can be blissfully unaware of what is going on in our body that may be bad, we can be blissfully unaware of something that's going on in our soul that's not really good. And so regularly we need to invite the Spirit to search us and to know us, to try us and to test us. It's a dangerous prayer, but it's an amazing prayer, because I would say that an examined soul is a healthy soul. An examined soul is a healthy one. So let's turn to Psalm 139. One of the writers that I read in preparation for this message said that this is the summit of Old Testament poetry. I would encourage you after this message, read the whole psalm. It is stunning in its beauty. It's breathtaking. As David talks about this relationship that he had with God, King David. And so there's a lot to the prayer. We're only going to be able to look at a few of the verses, but here we see that he says, "Search me." And I want to point out four different things that he asks God to do. "Search me," and what? "Let me see you." Verse 5. "You, God," this is all written in the form of a prayer. "You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand on me." You lay your hand upon me. David is aware and cognizant of the fact that God's hand is upon his life. And in this beautiful prayer, he is aware of God's knowledge of him and God's working in his life. I'll read the first four verses again. They're so beautiful. He says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise." Let me ask you a question. How many times did you sit down yesterday and get up? I bet you don't have any idea, right? God knows. You know why God knows? Because he's deeply in love with you, and he's concerned about every detail. So he knows how many times you sat down and when you got up. He says, "You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it, Lord, completely." I think about that. Before you speak a word, God knows what you're gonna say. That's how intimate his knowledge is. Now, for some of you, you hear that, it may scare you, okay? Like, whoa, I don't know if I want God. He knows all that, but here's the beautiful thing. Well, not so, okay, first let's get to the scary thing. When this dawns on him, you know what his first reaction is? Well, I'll show you, I'll read it for you in verse 7. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" David's first reaction is, oh my, you know me that well, I need to run. And then he says, but you know what? If I go to the top of the mountains, you're there. If I go to the depths of the sea, you're there. Everywhere I go, I bump into you, God. I can't get away. And so this reality that God knows everything about him kind of scares him at first, but then listen what happens as the psalm develops in verse 17. "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." As David grows in his intimacy with God, his relationship with God, he says, this knowledge, it doesn't scare me anymore. In fact, it's precious to me, because he discovers the one who knows him the best loves him the most. The one who knows you the best loves you the most. And so this examination, this knowledge, this intimate knowledge that God has of us is a good thing. And so the prayer of examine is two different aspects to it. This is the first one. It's called a prayer of consciousness, meaning I want to be consciously aware of the presence of God in my life. Now, here's the deal. You can be a Christian. You can be a disciple of Jesus. You can be in the Word and be completely unaware of God's activity in your life. We've been doing this thing recently past number of years in bands, which are small, intimate groups. Small groups, and even in our committee meetings, where we say, let's share God moments. And what is a God moment? A God moment is where something happened in your life that is unmistakably the hand of God. And you give God glory for that. Now, here's what I found, though. A person could be a Christian many years, and you say, well, hey, how's God been involved in your life the last week? And you know what I typically get? A blank stare. I never thought about it. Because here's the deal, we're not looking and we're not aware of how God's involved. We'll pray prayers and we'll ask God for things and he'll answer them, and we'll kind of just scoot right on. Hey, one of the ways that God was involved in your life last week was he answered that prayer. How did he answer that prayer? So in this whole psalm is really David in awe of this knowledge that God has of him, and he's saying, I want to have the same knowledge of you. I want to know that your hand is upon my life. I want to see your hand at work. So search me and let me see you. And then he gets to the end of the psalm, the last two verses, and this is where the requests come in. Everything before this is really awe and wonder. And then he gets to the actual petitions. He says this, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Search me and know my heart. He's saying, search me and unearth my anxious thoughts. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And so David is saying, really, God, show me. Show me where I'm afraid. Show me my anxious thoughts. Now, I don't know about you, but often my anxieties are like right there in front of my face. But sometimes I can't name them. And sometimes when you name it, it takes the power away from it, for one thing. But what he's saying is, let me be aware of the things that make me anxious. Let me ask you, what makes you anxious? Here's what I found. When anxiety is high, trust is low. When we're anxious about things, we're not trusting God with those things. So let me ask you some question. Your parent, are you a helicopter parent? Do you worry about your children? The answer is yes. Could it be that you have not trusted God completely with your kids? And that God is bringing that to the surface so that you will be free of this worry? Maybe it's finances. Maybe you've got some big bills coming up. You don't know how you're going to pay them. Maybe it's your job situation. Maybe it's a little up in the air and you've heard rumblings about some layoffs and you're anxious about this. Could it be that God is asking you, trust me with that? Come on, trust me. Maybe it's health matters. Maybe you've had a scare with your health and you're afraid. Where anxiety is high, trust is low. And so we pray this so that God can reveal this so that we can be free from those fears. Search me and let me see you. Search me and unearth my anxious thoughts. And then he goes on, he says this, see if there is any offensive way in me. See if there is any offensive way. Now this is where the prayer gets courageous. You gotta really be serious. Do you really want God to show you this? If there is any offensive way in me, oh God, reveal it. So the prayer of examine, search me, has two aspects. A prayer of consciousness, Lord, let me be conscious of you. I wanna see you. And then secondly, it's a prayer of conscience. Lord, show me in my life where there's sin. Show me in my life where there is an attitude problem. Show me, reveal anything that's offensive to you, God. And I found that when we do this, the Holy Spirit reveals. You say, well, wait, why do we need God to show that? Don't we already know? Hardly. We think that oftentimes we go along merrily, again, blissfully ignorant about ourselves, and we're not aware. Jeremiah said this, the prophet said this about our own hearts. Listen, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? This is our understanding of Christians as a heart, of the heart, is that the heart will lead you astray. The heart, you'll tell yourself, everything's good, I'm fine, everything's great in my life, and then there's this real character issue, this deep character flaw, this sin that's just being allowed to have free reign, and we're not even aware of it. In fact, we often lie to ourselves. Psychologists tell us that we're only about 40% self-aware, meaning about 60% of our lives, our words, our actions, how we come across to other people, we are not aware of how we are being taken by others. We're just kind of ignorant of those things. We don't see what other people see in us. And so we can deceive ourselves. We can rationalize stuff very easy. And in fact, we are really good at lying to ourselves. Yeah, I'm gonna go to that party, but I'm not gonna eat too much. I'm not materialistic. I just like nice things. I don't gossip. Gossip's not part of my life. I am part of a prayer group and we share a lot of prayer requests. this one's so common. I don't have a drinking problem. People tell me I have a drink. I don't have a drinking problem. I can stop anytime I want to. Can I give you a hint? If somebody says you have a drinking problem, maybe. I don't spend too much time on my phone. I really don't. I'm probably just 5 minutes a day is all I spend on my phone. And we're so distracted. We lie to ourselves. And so here's the courageous thing. This takes courage. We get with God. Silence. Turn off the phones, all the other noise, no TV gone, nothing, no noise. And we just say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, reveal. Show me any offensive way in me. And he speaks. Again, that's not a safe little nominal Christian prayer. You know, bless my day, or help me get that good parking space in front, you know, at the very beginning of the parking lot. Those are nice little nominal, cute little nominal Christian prayers. This is where it gets serious. And here's the thing. Remember what I said? The one who knows you the most loves you the most. Now, when we examine ourselves, when we look at things, resort to blame, we'll condemn ourselves, we'll beat ourselves up about stuff, or we'll rationalize on the other extreme, we'll justify. The Holy Spirit never seeks to crush us. The Holy Spirit seeks to bring to the surface what needs to be addressed. And so when I do the prayer of examine, typically I'll do it in the morning because I'm a morning person. I don't think real, my good thoughts stop about 1 p.m. in the afternoon, okay? And so first thing in the morning I say, Father, show me my day yesterday. Reveal to me anything that was offensive. And then, oh man, I was so abrupt with my kids. All right, the way I said that to that coworker was just not right. And sometimes I have to leave that prayer, and later in that day or that evening, I have to go and I have to ask forgiveness from somebody. See, I was unaware of it, but then that time of prayer. Now, here's the good thing. The Holy Spirit is not gonna bring this big load of stuff that's just gonna crush you. Because if God showed us everything that was wrong with our spirit at once, it would completely discourage us. But the lover of our soul, the Holy Spirit doesn't behave that way. He's gonna bring gently to our mind the things that need to be addressed. Why? For the same reason you go to the doctor with a physical exam to discover that if anything is wrong, that it can be treated, so that you do this, so that if there's anything wrong, it can be treated. It can be brought to the Lord and you can ask forgiveness. You can ask for his power and his grace. And if necessary, you can go to another person and apologize. So search me and reveal my offenses. And then he says this, and lead me in the way everlasting. He's asking for guidance. Not just any kind of guidance. He's asking for God's guidance. You could translate this, lead me in the ancient paths. Lead me in the way everlasting. I want to know your ways, God. How are you guiding me? Brett had a fabulous message a couple weeks ago about guidance and how guidance is usually leading us to and bringing us to a place of serving other people. Lead me in the way everlasting. And so that's discernment. We call that discernment, where we're seeking to understand the leading of the Holy Spirit. Our chief leadership team here at LaCroix, about a year and a half ago or so, reconstituted and we renamed it intentionally. And we call it the 3D team. And it stands for discernment, development, and deployment. So we deploy people into ministry. We deploy them into service. It's development. It's about leadership development. But D, the first D is discernment. Where we as a team, our first job is to discern for the church God's calling, God's will for us. And so we pray together and we say, Lord, show us your way, lead us. And little did we know when we developed this team, reconstituted and renamed it, first time we put discernment in our name, that during this pandemic, we would have the most difficult decision that most church leaders would say the most difficult decision in their ministries, certainly in my 35 years. And that wasn't about closing down at the beginning of the pandemic like churches did all around the world, but when do we open? And God, what are you calling us as a church to do? And I can tell you, we prayed as on my face seeking God. We were saying, lead us, Lord. And you know what'll happen when you ask for guidance, you're gonna be tempted to follow the crowd of what others are doing. But God, what are you saying? And as we sought him, I'll never forget this prayer meeting we had early July. And we were seeking God's will. We were scheduled to go back in the building. You might remember the second week of July. And we had some concerns about it. And Brett was leading us in that meeting. He said, why don't you write down your concerns? So we wrote them all down. Said, okay, take that to God. And now go walk for 15 minutes and pray. And we did. We came back in the room. I get goosebumps till this day when I think about it. Several people all came back with one word, outdoors. Outdoors. I not a vision, but a distinct leading of the Spirit. When I walked out the back door, God said, worship here. And for 2 months, we had outdoor worship. I'm just saying, here's the deal. When you ask God to lead you, he will. He will reveal his path. And so some days it's real simple. You just begin your day and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Now, I've got my calendar. I've got my schedule. I'm going to keep my schedule. I've got all these appointments, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go do this. But Lord, help me to be sensitive to what you are calling me to do. And especially, help me to be open to that interruption, because sometimes I find that the interruption is the very thing God is leading us to. And don't be surprised that when you say, lead me, he's going to show you a need. Frank Laubach was one of the great masters of prayer from the last century. He died in 1970. I think he was born in 1890 or so. He was a missionary to the Philippines. And he developed this process of prayer that he called a game with minutes. And what he taught people to do was to be consciously aware of the Spirit of God for at least 1 second of every minute. Now try that for even just 30 minutes and how hard that is. It's extremely hard. But he said if you can develop your sensitivity to God to where every waking moment you're aware of God. So he called it a game with minutes. So he did this. He was in the Philippines. And as he's doing this, he has this sense, what keeps coming to him over and again was illiteracy. Many, many people in the Philippines at that time were not able to read. And so this keeps coming to him. And so finally, he discovers that God is leading him to attack the issue of illiteracy. And he starts a program called Each One, Teach One, a very simple method for teaching people how to read. And it just spread all over the country. It was amazing. And now, many years later, his organization has kind of morphed into another organization, still doing the same work today. Today, as a result of their work, 60 million people worldwide have learned how to read in a Christian context because this missionary a long time ago sensed in his time with God, God, what do you want me to do to address the problem of illiteracy? He became known as the apostle to the illiterate. His work that is being done, is still being done around the world. And he said this in a prayer, God, need is your language. Do you hear that? Need is God's language. And so when you get quiet and you say, lead me, don't be surprised if he shows you a need. And what he's saying is, go in the strength of the Spirit and attack that need. Because one man was willing to pray the prayer of examine 80, 90 years ago, 60 million people, their lives were improved. What if just 100 people from our church got serious about this and prayed and said, God, lead me, and the Spirit of God led them to do something to bless other people? Is that just not exciting to think about what could come from that? Because need is God's language. And when you get quiet enough and ask, he'll show you. So it's a dangerous prayer, but what a powerful prayer. Search me. Search me and let me see you. Search me and unearth my anxious thoughts. Search me and reveal any offensive way in me. Search me and lead me in the ancient paths. So I want to encourage you to adopt the prayer of examine. Try it out. I put together a resource this week, and if you're online, it'll drop in the chat right now, or for everybody, just you can go to the app. We're going to bring it up here and show you how to get to it. Just go to the app where it says weekend, and there you click on that. It'll take you to this thing called the prayer of examine, and then it's going to walk you through. This is a simple outline with different options of how you can pray the prayer of examine on your own. It takes courage. But when you truly say, search me, God will. And it'll be the scrutiny, not of a critic, not of someone to crush you or to destroy you, but of the one who loves you more than anyone else. And he's gonna show you himself. He's gonna reveal your anxiety and your fear so that that can be eradicated. He's gonna show you the offensive things so that those can be removed, and he'll lead you in remarkable ways. So why don't we pray? Why don't we pray the prayer of examine now? Let's pray. Search us, O God. Search us and know our anxious thoughts. Search us and reveal any offensive way in us. Lead us in the way everlasting. We thank you that you are able to do that, oh God, that you love us. You know when we rise, when we sit. You know every thought before we think it, every word before we speak it. Your knowledge is too marvelous for us. How amazing are you, God? So speak, we pray, Lord, speak. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.